Morning, everyone. The reading this morning is from 2 Samuel, chapter 7, and in the Church Bible, that's on page 310. So, 2 Samuel, reading from chapter 7, going from verse 1 through to verse 17. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of the Lord remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from the tending of flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home for their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them any more, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over them. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod welded by man, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, who I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Eileen. Well, keep your Bibles open there, please, and let's pray. Father God, thank you very much for this word from 2 Samuel, Father. And as we think about it, help us to see you more clearly. Help us to believe in you more firmly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tomorrow is Monday. I hope that isn't news to anybody. Is that, no? Hopefully not. And lots of people wake up on Monday morning looking forward to what? Not normally school or work. They're normally looking forward to Friday, the next weekend, aren't they? I mean, 2 whole days without school, 2 whole days for many people without work. And these are nice things to look forward to, aren't they? Weekends are lovely in lots of ways, an ordinary weekend. But how much better if that weekend actually happened to include a trip to somewhere exciting, or a big party that you're going to go to, or you're taking delivery of that long-awaited dining room table. I know, us adults live life on the edge, don't we? But an ordinary weekend might turn into a magnificent weekend. Well, the story of 2 Samuel thus far has been that of God establishing his king. And then back in chapter 5, we saw that David did become king. He became king over all of Israel. It finally happened. And who made this possible? It wasn't David. It wasn't really the people around him. It was God, exactly. And then we get to chapter 7. And King David is enjoying the good life. Please look with me at chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Life is good for David. His kingdom is secure. The palace is finished. You know what I mean? Even the dining room table's arrived. And the ark, the symbol of God's presence, is in Jerusalem. And David is thinking life is grand. And then verse 2, his mind drifts to the things of God. And he starts thinking, what can I do for God? And that's a good question to ask, isn't it? What can I do for God? It's a good question to ask. And David thought, I know, I'm going to build a palace, or a house, if you like, for the Ark of the Covenant. A temple, if you like. And as we're going to see, God's reply to this is, David, 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 I haven't finished with you yet. The question isn't what you can do for me, but what I can still do for you. What God could still do for David. And when God's thinking here, he's not thinking of, I'm going to give David an ordinary weekend. He's thinking of something much bigger than that. He's going to pull out all the stops. It's going to be a magnificent plan for David. But not just for David, but for all of God's people. And so to our first point this morning, and that is this: look big. Very short and snappy, I know. So in verses 5 to 7, God tells David, I don't need you to build me a house for the Ark of the Covenant. That's not your job. And instead, focus on what God is going to do for his people. Please look with me at verse 10. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Now, God is going to provide a home. Now, children, what makes a good home? Come on, I want some answers. What makes a good home? Go on, Poppy.
Family and love.
Oh, sorry, can we turn this one on as well? Sorry.
Family and love.
Family and love, very good. Anything from you, Bethany? No. I definitely got the no look. Go on, Sam, what makes a good home?
A bed.
A bed? Oh, Poppy's got, you're not going to make me come back as a forward, are you? I'm not that fit.
Food.
Food makes a good home? Right, last one.
A sofa.
They didn't mention a dining room table, did they? But anyway. Yes, lots of good ideas. I hope you parents are listening, just in case you're failing on any of those things. But God has got an idea of a good home, and that idea is of God's people being together. Now, I think instinctively we know the things that make a good home. It's family being together. And it's no different for God's family, a place where they truly belong. Or as verse 10 says, as they are planted. It isn't just a home, it feels like home. But it's also a home full of rest as well. Harris, can we put the next slide on? And when I say rest, I'm not talking about this type of rest. I didn't say to Sam that he needed to talk about beds. But he's not talking about lots of sleep. But verse 10 again. And I'll provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall no longer oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give them rest from all their enemies. This is rest from wickedness. I mean, this is going to be a home where you never find wickedness or evil. It won't be inside, and it won't be trying to get in from the outside. I mean, that means daddies will no longer get grumpy, or children will no longer argue. I know, it seems miraculous, doesn't it? And there'll be no longer people on the outside. Wickedness will no longer on the outside will be trying to get in. That won't be possible. You see, David, he's been sat in his palace thinking life is good. And God says, David, you're not thinking big enough. A palace, well, it's all very nice, but that's not a real home. You need to look big. See, a magnificent home isn't about bricks and mortar, but people being planted and being free from wickedness and being together with God's people, a family. Look big. But then God says to David, halfway through verse 11, please look with me halfway through verse 11. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Now, earlier on, at the beginning of this passage, David was sat there thinking, I want to build a house for God. And God is saying, no, you're not. I'm going to build a house for you, David. But he's only got one. He's got his palace. So what's going on here? Now, it's one of those situations where words can have more than one meaning. I mean, I could say that I'm going to make a racket, right? And you might be thinking, well, is Mike going to make a tennis racket? Or I could be making a racket and a lot of noise. One word, two meanings. Well, house can do the same. House can do the same. It's going to be a place where people live, but it can also mean something else. And we get a clue about that in verse 16. So just jump ahead to chapter 7 and verse 16. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This house isn't a place for someone to live, for David's family. This house is his sons and his grandsons and their children being the king of God's people. So on this next slide, we're going to see some of David's family. I believe. Thank you. Yeah. So we've got David, son who was Solomon, and then Solomon's son was Rehoboam, and Rehoboam's son was Abijah. Right. And they all be called kings. Now, what would a Solomon called David? What would he have called David? What would a Solomon called David? Go on then.
He would have called David a father.
Father or dad, exactly. Now, what would have Rehoboam? What would have he called David? What would it? Go on, Poppy. I'm going to put you and Sam in the middle, so I don't have to walk around so much.
Grandfather.
Grandfather, exactly, or granddad. Now, what would Abijah have called David? What would he have called? Go on, Poppy.
Grandmother.
It's amazing how you can get so close, but yet be so far away. Grand.
Dad.
Yay! It wasn't his mum, was he? Exactly. Exactly, his granddad. You see, David needs to look big. God wasn't just thinking about David's rule and David's kingship. God was looking into the future, into his house, and Solomon's rule, and Rehoboam's rule, and Abijah's rule, and all the way through to Jesus' rule. Look big is what God is saying to David. But there's another reason to look big as well. Because verse 16 again. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. We're told twice that David's house, his kingdom, will be forever. Now, I've got a rope here. Oh! And I want you to imagine that this rope represents time. Right? It's a nice long rope, and it represents time. And we've got this little bit here. We've got this green bit. And this is David's life. This is what David was like. And it's his life, and a little bit of that, that's David thinking about whether he's going to build that house for for the temple or not. And God is saying to David, David, you're just focused on this bit of your life and this bit of time. But look, time goes on and on and on, and it goes on forever. David, you're not thinking big enough. Look at all this time yet still to come. You're focused on just your life here and now. David, your kingdom is going to last forever. And you know, this rope comes to an end, but if this was a forever rope, it would just keep on going and going and going. David, you're not looking big enough. You're just focusing on this little bit. Look big. Look at God's eternal plan. See, this is no ordinary kingdom that God is talking about. No ordinary weekend, if you like. This is a magnificent kingdom that stretches into eternity. And therefore, the challenge for us today, it is to look big ourselves, but also to believe big. Because we can sit here and think, yep, this all sounds pretty amazing, a forever home. I mean, when we say a forever home, that's a location, location, location thing, isn't it? Where, or you can spend the rest of your life, but that's not going to be forever. This, when God talks about a forever home, it's an eternal home, free from evil, where God is king, Jesus is on the throne. And it's so impressive, but the key question for us is, do we trust that God will keep his promise? Well, let's compare God's promise to 2 Samuel. I mean, King David, he did eventually die, didn't he? He died an old man, but he did die. Did God's promise still stand, though? Yes, of course it did. Rehoboam, his son became king, and then after him, his son became king, and so on and so on. But God's promise still stood. And then we get to David's great, 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 lots of great grandson, and King Jesus, who lived and demonstrated his royal and his divine credentials. But then he died, didn't he? But he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose again. He reigns today so that he can bring people home to an eternal rest. See, death cannot destroy God's promise. In fact, as we can look back through Bible history, we can see that God's promises still stand, even when death is there. We can not just look big, we can believe big. But what about sin and wicked human beings? Well, we've already seen that David isn't perfect, and in a few weeks' time, we're going to just see how far he dives down the hole of sinfulness. And the same went for his sons. But yet again, God's promise still stood, king after king. A holy and perfect God could somehow keep an unholy and perfect kings and their people in his family. Until the day we got a perfect and sinless king, a king who no longer sinned. A king who's truly equipped to keep his free kingdom free from wickedness. See, death isn't able to destroy God's promise. Sin isn't able to destroy God's promise. In fact, we've seen God keeping that promise. We can believe big. And what about time? Will time ever exhaust God's promises? Well, thousands of years have passed since King David. Is a king from David's family still on the throne of God's kingdom? Yes, it is. King Jesus is there. His death and resurrection has proved it. Time cannot exhaust God's promises. We can believe big. God has been keeping his big promises, and that helps us today as we still wait for those promises to be completely fulfilled. We're still, because as Christians, we're still hanging on, aren't we? We're still waiting for some of those promises, but we know, we've seen God keeping them in various ways. We know he'll keep the final one. We can believe big. You see, God isn't promising a lifetime of graft followed by an ordinary weekend for his people. He's promised us a magnificent weekend with bells on, one that's going to last forever. But he hasn't just promised it. He's been working to bring it about in his King, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's kingdom is far more magnificent than we realize. So let's look big. Let's believe big. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this word through Nathan to David all those years ago. But it's a word which is full of gospel hope and gospel promise, Father. A king who will sit on your throne forever. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is that king and has shown that in so many ways. Thank you that your promises still stand. And Father, as we go into our week, as we look forward, not just the weekend, as we look forward to being with you in glory, Help us just to see how glorious your promises are. Help us to believe them in the midst of the struggles and joys of everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.